T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
I see the president's at the podium, so we could be hearing from any player in the world in a couple of minutes. So, you know, he's talking to Spain now, so who knows what's going to happen. Ron will be on the call of the TBS exclusive coverage of the 2017 National League postseason from the NL wildcard game next Wednesday right through the NLCS. And Ron Darling joins us now. And Ronnie, I heard Keith say something the other day, which I completely agree with. This is the – he said he was excited for the postseason. And I tell you, the matchups this year are about as compelling as I can remember. You have a lot of storylines and a lot of teams that showed a lot of greatness. You have the Dodgers with what they did. You have the Astros the way they started. You have Washington's been waiting for years. You have the Red Sox. You have the Yankees and all their young power. So you look at it from that standpoint, you have Cleveland, which has had an incredible run with their winning streak. You got a lot of teams that really stamped themselves as being special this year, and now they're all lumped in the postseason. It's going to be fun.
I mean, think about all the things that have happened. The 22-game winning streak by the Indians. They're 29-2 in the last 31. Dodgers won a 43-7 streak.
Amazing.
You look at the Red Sox and the Houston Astros and all the young talent that they have. The Yankees, a year ago, we talked about them that they would be on a 2 or 3 year plan to maybe get back to the postseason. They didn't know the Judge was going to be Babe Ruth this year, and it's been a whole different experience for them. I think the matchups are going to be fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to it. Usually I go in a little, you know, trepidatious. You don't know how the game's going to work out. But this year, it didn't matter what game you do, it's going to be compelling.
You got the Yankees, who will be a heavy favorite in a wild card game against Minnesota. You have Arizona, which will be a heavy favorite in theirs. They're supposed to win. If they do win, then you have terrific four matchups for the four teams, the Yankees and the Indians, the Red Sox and the Astros. On the other side, you have, obviously, with Washington and then the three other teams. The Cubbies are still there. You got the Dodgers, and then you have Arizona, which will have Greinke. So you have great talent all the way abound. Now, let's start with one thing. We saw Judge at his 50th yesterday. Yeah. We saw what Giancarlo's done this year. But beyond that, I just did the numbers. I just looked on the MLB at bat. 165 players have 15 or more homers. 116 players have 20 or more homers. There's 40 players who have 30 or more homers. Home runs are being hit. This game is strikeout, home run. Everybody hits home runs. Everybody's got 15 home runs. Jose Reyes got 15 home runs. Right. Cabrera's got 15 home runs. Everybody's got 15 home runs. Is the ball the issue? Is the ball tighter? I've heard pitchers say you can't grip the seams. They're all the way down on the ball. Is it the baseball this year that's the issue?
It's a great question, Mike. I think it's a combination of many things. First, the baseball. Baseball is different than when I held it 30
years
ago.
How is it different?
The seams are not as pronounced as they were when I played.
Which tells you that it's wound tighter?
I don't know if it's wound tighter, but I know that without seams, there's less gravitational pull, there's less tug, so the ball will travel further.
So if they just put the seams into the ball more, the ball's going to less friction.
Less friction, right? Okay. So it's going to fly through the air better. I think you're also looking at, you know, when you and I grew up playing ball, what'd they tell you? Hit the ball on the ground, hit line drives.
Right, hit it back through the originator.
Exactly.
Right through the originator.
All the guys now are learning how to launch angle, hit the ball in the air.
Everybody hit the ball in the air.
Hit the ball in the air because it takes the shift out of play. I think the velocity of the pitchers, they're throwing faster than they ever have before. So if you do make contact, ball has a chance to go further than it ever has. And I think, the ballparks simply are
playing
a lot smaller.
To that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They are. And then you got guys who are big men. Giancarlo is a big man, and Judge is the biggest player in the history of baseball for a positional player. He's 280 pounds. He's 6'7". That's a big man.
You know, I've seen some other big men play. You know, obviously, You and I remember Frank Howard.
Frank Howard, okay. Very much, yes. Wasn't overly athletic.
Injuries kind of robbed him of his career. Billy Ashley in his day was 6'7", right. 270
Dave
or so.
Dave Kingman was a big man.
Dave Kingman was, but he was 6'4", so he wasn't the size that Judge is. Giancarlo Stanton hits balls like I've never seen anyone hit because he's the only line drive home run hitter of all this group. Everyone else puts the ball in the air. And I think, you know, the big part about Aaron Judge and what I've enjoyed watching him this year is I really didn't know how complete a player he was.
Very complete.
I thought he was going to be a home run, strikeout kind of guy, and he still does that.
Strikes out a lot.
He does.
But his fielding is good. He runs the bases well.
He walks.
Yep, he walks a lot.
You know, so he's on base a lot. He's scored a lot of runs. He's driven in a lot of runs. His arm is
good.
Is great.
And he runs the bases very well.
He really does. So he, to me, is, I didn't know he was as complete a player, but watching him this year, that has been really the greatest thing in watching him.
Ron, what we're watching with the NFL has seeped into the NBA. Of course, the NBA guys are very... First of all, the NBA guys, the couple of guys, like LeBron, think they should be involved in everything. So they're always going to answer. Okay, we know that. Baseball doesn't have that guy who does that. But do you think this is going to seep into baseball in the postseason? Are we going to see something? We saw somebody kneel down in baseball the other day.
Bruce Maxwell for the A's.
Right.
Yeah.
So are we going to see this seep into the playoffs in your mind?
You know, in my mind, I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason I say there's a variety of reasons. One, the NBA is a player-driven league, so it doesn't matter what really ownership or the NBA or any of the powers that be want to say. No one's as big as LeBron James. Nobody. As far as the NFL is concerned, I mean, that was directed right at them.
Right.
So, you know, that was a shot across their bow.
Right.
And I think the reason that it won't happen in baseball, unless clubhouses have changed, and I know they haven't, is baseball clubhouses tend to be very conservative. They also are clubhouses that I always felt, and we heard some Chris Archer from the Tampa Bay Rays say that he didn't feel comfortable expressing himself and how he wanted to feel about the comments. So clubhouses have always been like that. It always was a place that if you stuck out, you were out. You know, you were either in with the other 24 guys or you're out. It's always been that way. It's always very conservative in baseball clubhouses. And remember, a third of the players are from Latin American countries, and they don't have any skin in the game, or they have their own issues in Venezuela with their own politics, and Puerto Rico with the devastation. So it's a combination of reasons.
He's talking about, Mons, the president's talking about the NFL now. If he says anything, let me know so I know what's going on since he's speaking as we speak. We're talking with Ron Darling. So you don't think it'll seep into baseball? Mm. Before we get to the playoffs and talk about what you like and don't like, the Mets, it has been such a, you know, dark, quiet last 6 weeks. Listen, they sold everybody off, and that's the way it went. And then their kids got hurt. And then Cespedes goes down and Conforto goes down, which we know. If I was going to say a bright spot, the only one that I've seen, and I got to give him credit because I've been hard on the guy, Dono has hit the last month like a crazy man. Do we take, now the old adage, you don't take what you see in April and September and take it seriously. It is, but if we did that with Judge, he'd lose a lot of home runs this year if we didn't take April and September. He hit 25 or 28 home runs in 2 months or something. Dono has gone crazy the last month and looked like a real hitter. If you look now, he's got 16 homers and 350 at-bats and about 60 RBIs. That's not bad if you prorate it. Is he now a keeper? Has that changed?
Well, I think two things. One is that I think Sandy Alderson and the Mets feel like he's a keeper.
Because he mentioned him, and everyone made fun of Sandy for saying it, and then he went crazy.
That's right. And I think that makes a little sense, right? When your general manager gives you that kind of vote of confidence, sometimes that can help a young player who might be struggling. So do we judge September? I judge it this way. You never know when the light bulb's going to go off for a player. He's been a guy that we never think about this, but he's a young player that's been traded twice.
Right.
It's very hard on a young player to be. I was traded once, and it was very hard on me in my first year. So it's hard to judge that. So maybe it's taken him a little longer. Also, I don't think we put enough focus on how difficult it is for young catchers in the game today. There's so much put on their plate. It's almost like they're trying to make them an NFL quarterback.
Right.
I'm surprised they don't have a band with all the plays
Gotcha.
Before the game. So sometimes it takes a little longer. I would say that this is what you expected from him two years ago.
He looks like a hitter, which is what the book always was that he was a good hitter.
Well, I think that in trying not to hit home runs, he's now started to hit home runs, and I think that was always the key for him.
So now that's one thing. Have you seen anything else that you've seen Montero probably play his way back into the picture? Lugo's a keeper. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything else from any of the position players, any of the youngsters that have shown you that they're an everyday player? Keith seems to like Aoki. You want to give him a chance next year on the team?
Aoki, I think if you want him to be, if you're a good team,
he'd be a fourth outfielder.
Aoki doesn't play that much. You know, he's a fourth or fifth outfielder if you're a good ball club.
Right.
I think that if you want to take the two young players, I think Smith has shown that...
He's come on a little.
He has come on a little. He's driven in 22 runs, too, right. In 1 month.
And his glove's not bad.
His glove is good, but as we saw in a couple times in last night's game, or at least since he's been up, that still has room for growth there. I think when you look at Rosario, I think that tremendous speed, tremendous talent, still room to grow there. So I'm not going to go on board and say that they're an everyday player yet. But they're close.
Reyes has played his heart out to try and come back. He's hitting 250 now. He's hit a lot of home runs. Can you bring Reyes and Cabrera back into this infield next year?
Well, I think you have to bring at least one of them. And, you know, Reyes, I think, would be the cheaper version of the two.
He's going to want to stay. He'll stay under any circumstances.
Yeah, and he has a home here,
he enjoys it here.
So he would be the cheaper alternative because I think Cabrera is an $8.5 million option.
Yeah.
And Reyes can play... multiple positions.
He's like second better than third.
Shortstop second, better than third base.
Right, he didn't do well at third base, and he was terrible in the outfield. One day they put him out there, so that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Which pitchers can you count on Syndergaard and DeGrom next year in your mind?
Yeah, I think you can count on them.
What would you do with Harvey?
Well, first, Syndergaard was having a good season before he got hurt, so he was still a good pitcher.
Right.
What would you do with Harvey? I think that there's 29 other teams waiting for you to non-tender him,
right?
Because they would love to solve the.
Because if
Harvey.
They can solve him, they get a big pitcher.
Exactly.
So you got to keep him one more year and try.
I think you got to keep him one more year and
try. Do you think the walk year will motivate him? Do you think the light? Let me ask this: Do you think the light has gone on for Harvey now that he's been humbled?
Has the light gone on? I think more importantly, I think that this is a guy that's had a couple operations, and when I saw his stuff earlier in the year, I was. Not doubtful, but I was, he's a little short. And when you have a guy that's very young and it's a little short, that's a little alarming. But he hasn't been short the last couple of times. Now, the results have not been there, but I'm starting to see what you saw before in 13 and in 15. Now, not the precision he had in those years, but you got to have the foundation. If you don't have the foundation of stuff, then there's nowhere to go. It seems like he's getting that foundation back.
Do you think you're going to get anything out of Wheeler and Matz?
I think you're going to get something out of Matz because of the history of that operation. DeGrom had it last season, came to spring training. He's 15 wins with the ball club that's
with
just
a bad
lost
team.
90,
with a bad team,
90,
yeah.
90 losses. So I think he's going to come back, and with the help of DeGrom, and he's going to have a good year. Wheeler is unknown because he hadn't pitched for 2 years. He only pitched like a third of a year this year before he was shut down. So I don't know how far he's evolved as a pitcher. He's the unknown for me.
We know that they're going to change the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. We know Terry's going to go. Now, whether he puts on the sham of retiring or not, who cares? Yeah. The bottom line is they're going to change managers. We know that. What kind of guy would you think fits the Mets? Who would you like to see the Mets? What kind of guy? Do you have a guy that you would like to see the Mets go after? And they're not going to go after a Met. We know that because that's not Alderson's way. But, I mean, do you have anybody that you look for and say, this guy I think has got a chance to be a good manager?
Well, first, the guys I think that are going to be looked at, Chip Hales, the Bob Gerrans,
right.
Guys like that. I was just thinking because of the Dartmouth connection, Brad Ausmus might be looked at now.
Interesting. Okay.
Because his contract's not going to be picked up at Texas. I think it's going to be someone, of course, that is younger, has the ability to coach within a game, but they're going to have to be able to handle the analytics of the game and be more of the new school thought. I think that's going to be your next manager. I don't know who that's going to be. There's a lot of names out there. And, you know, if their players come back healthy, I'm talking about Cespedes and the pitchers, boy, anyone could, I mean, I think they have a real upside. But that's a lot of ifs.
And Cespedes being healthy, Conforto right. being healthy. Do you believe in Lagares? Do you think he could be an everyday player or no?
I believe he can be an everyday player. I think he's a game changer defensively. I know that defensive players are not regarded as highly. But my thought would be whatever you get offensively from him is a plus. Let's make sure you surround him with seven other good hitters. So that way you can keep that defense in center field. I don't know if that's going to play or not, but he's just a game changer. If you watch him play, it seems like he does something defensively every game to help your team. I think that, you know, that is not thought of in such a highlight. Maybe because I'm a former pitcher, I still view it in a highlight.
We're talking with Ron Darling, of course. You'll see him on TBS. We're a week away from the postseason. The wild card games will be next Tuesday. The Yankees will be against Minnesota at that time. We know that's pretty much locked up right now. So that's where we are. And Arizona's waiting to find out who they'll play in their wild card game. And then we got some interesting playoffs to get to. We'll get to that with Ron right after this. All right, we're back. We're talking with Ron Darling as we get ready a week from now for the postseason. As we said, now, have the interesting questions about all these teams.
Okay.
The Dodgers, has the slump erased all of their confidence, all of their bravado to where this team that in August people anointed as this team that was unbeatable now limps into the postseason, still winning 100 games, all right? They're still going to win 100 games. They've won 99. I think they'll win one more. The point is, has that slump, which was long and extended, has it erased all the good stuff they did?
Well, have they lost their swagger? I think they lost a little bit of it.
I think they lost a lot of it.
Because they were at a point where the celebration every night, it wasn't a win. It was a celebration.
They were unbeatable.
They were unbeatable. And they were at their best against the Mets in the two series they played against them this year. Yeah, I think they've lost a half a step. But you know what? They have Clayton Kershaw. And everyone's waiting for him to have his Madison Bumgarner October.
Right.
And if he has it, no one's going to stop them.
It should happen, too.
He's
too good for it not to happen.
When I think about it, and I certainly don't know him well enough to know this, but he's such a good pitcher. I think occasionally what happens, such a good pitcher, he's the best pitcher of a lot of generations, is that you get to a point where sometimes it's not good enough to win. It's like, I've got to
dominate.
Someone's
got to be like
someone.
Sandy. Yeah.
In the postseason, don't worry about that.
Right.
Just the only thing they're going to remember are W's.
And he's had a couple innings where he's gone into the seventh inning 1-1 and made a bad pitch.
That's right.
You know, like against Adams.
Against
or something
the Cardinal,
like that.
The hanging curveball.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting from that standpoint. The Cubs, are they just inept or have they been laying in the weeds all year?
I think they haven't been laying in the weeds because they've been playing hard. But I think that because of the iconic, historical world championship.
Right.
I think you were talking.
It was a hangover?
Hangover. Big time hangover. And I think that a lot of those players probably had opportunities this past winter where they could have done something every single day. And
right.
many of them probably did.
Right.
So when the season came, it came quickly for them. And it took them a half a year to get going. The difference was last year when they dominated, their starting pitching was great. It was awful in the first half. It's been great in the second half. The acquisition of Quintana changes that team. Just through a shutout against the Milwaukee Brewers, Jose Quintana is a game changer, and they're playing their best baseball right now. That's a good sign.
All right, so we have them. And then Washington has been waiting to win for so long. Their starting pitching superb. They got game breakers in the lineup. Their bullpen shaky, and I got to throw this in because there's some guys. Dusty Baker is not a good postseason manager because he just – listen, Dusty boxed himself out of a World Series against the Angels.
Angels in 2002.
He did a terrible job. He's had a history of being shaky with his pitching decisions in these games. I just worry about him if it comes down to where the choice becomes in or out, you know, in those games for them. There's a lot they're carrying around on their shoulders, Washington, where they got a lot to overcome. You know, there's a lot of history there where they've failed a lot now in the postseason. So have the Dodgers. Both of them have failed
That's right.
a lot in the postseason.
I think both of these teams have to exercise a lot of demons.
I agree.
They really do.
I agree.
I think the key for Washington, one of their strengths, is you're going to have Scherzer, Strasburg, and Gio.
Of Great pitching.
Great pitching, right?
Great pitching.
But
and Scherzer's money.
Scherzer's money.
Great
big pitcher. Time. But how good is Harper? How good is he going to be in the postseason?
We need to see.
I think that's
can
the most important thing.
Can he dominate a postseason?
You know, I've heard people say, well, Schwarber last year, he hit off the pitching machine, came back and hit. You know what? He DH'd.
Right.
There's a difference between DH'ing and standing in the outfield.
A lot of pressure on Harper.
For 3-4 hours.
A lot of pressure.
This is his chance.
Yep.
This is the most complete team they've ever had, playing the best coming into the post. This is a team that is primed to win now.
There's good hitters on that team.
If they don't win now, why not happen?
Murphy's become a really good situational hitter. Although he didn't have a great year, but he's had
a bad last couple of months.
But he's a good situational hitter because he always puts the bat on the ball and kills it low. I mean, if you throw him the ball low, you got to be out of your mind.
Right.
But he made Zimmerman a better hitter. You know, they got good players on that team. They really do. Unsung players on that team. So that's a good lineup. It really is.
You know, one of the best players in baseball that no one talks about is Anthony Rendon.
Rendon's a tremendous player.
Tremendous player. And he's not talked about because he doesn't say too much. He just does his thing. And every year he puts up great numbers.
Now, the Indians have pitching. They have the best manager in baseball, in my mind, in Francona. Without question, he handles a team better. I just think he handles the game better. I love him as a manager. They had that run this year where they've been unbelievable. And what scares you about them is it's not one guy in that lineup. They can hit you top to bottom. What anybody in that lineup can do it. So they don't rely on one guy in that lineup.
You know, another guy that no one talks about, Jose Ramirez.
Had a great year. That's their best player. If you talk to them, that's their best player.
Been an MVP kind of year. But think about them. They went a long time without Andrew Miller.
Yep.
They went a long time without Jason Kipnis.
Yep.
A long time without Michael Brantley playing, and they still won 22 straight. I think they're 29-2 their last 31, which matches the 1906 Chicago Cubs. The thing about Cleveland is that over 162 games, every night they put someone on the mound, whether it was Kluber, who might have ran down Sale for the Cy Young, Bauer, Carrasco, Salazar, Tomlin, whatever, over 162. What'll be interesting now is as Tito goes back into postseason mode, where he's going to do what he did last year, how healthy Miller is. Because Miller was the key to last year getting the World Series.
All right. The Red Sox don't have the thumper in that lineup, but they've had a habit of winning games from behind this year. They've been deadly in extra innings. They got a great guy in the bullpen. They have a habit of coming back in these games. So many times they come back late in the game. They have some good young players. Who's more dangerous to Cleveland and Houston, the Red Sox or the Yankees?
Oh, that's a great question.
Who would you rather play in a series?
I think I'd rather play the Red Sox than the Yankees. And then I agree. And I say that because Sale is unbelievable. Pomerantz has had an unbelievable year. I wouldn't bet my house on him in the postseason.
He really has.
They're really counting on David Price to do the job that Miller did.
I wouldn't count on anything with him.
Exactly, because those postseason numbers.
So, I don't trust them.
So those are kind of the question marks. Now, they have great young players, the Red Sox, and Betts, and Bradley, and Bogarts, Benintendi.
I love Benintendi.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the difference, I think, between those two ball clubs, and Kimbrel is automatic, is that Joe, and you know he's not afraid of this because you watch their games and you go to their games, They could do what the Cardinals did in 2011, get minimal from their starters, and then just start pulling the starters out and go to the pen in the fourth.
Well,
and Green get Chad
gives Green. Greed gives him those two couple innings. He's been unhittable.
Unhittable.
Yeah, but the one thing is, you're going to see Betances all week this week because they don't know if they can trust him. He can't throw. Now, you tell me about this. He throws his curveball over the plate, can't throw his fastball over the plate. What is going on with a guy who can't throw his fastball over the plate but can throw a curveball over the plate?
You know, I've seen a couple of pitchers like that. You remember Carlos Marmol for the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, 5 years ago. He was the same. He could only throw his slider over. It's all about feel. And sometimes these pitchers have a feel for a certain pitch. I mean, Betances doesn't like to throw the ball to the bases. That's a straight one, you know.
Right.
So he needs to straighten
it
out.
Will he get his confidence back last week? Probably not, right?
You know, what you've seen all year is probably what you're going to get. But at the same time, he's a guy that he's unpredictable, but he can also strike out 5 in a row.
He has the best stuff.
He does.
If he's on his game.
He does. He does.
Now, Chapman looks better, but I still wonder about Chapman. He just seems to be off a little bit this year.
I think that, when he was with Cincinnati, because they weren't a very good team, he would spend, you know, he'd come out of the bullpen maybe 40, 45, 50 times a year. Last year, he was pushed, 70, 75 appearances. Okay, so that definitely had an effect. But you know what? The average velocity of baseball pitchers now is up from 92 to 94 to 95. So he's come from 104 down to 100.
Right.
The league has gone from 92 to 96. So there's more people facing that kind of velocity. So even though it's superb, he's closer to the norm than he's ever been.
What do you see with Severino? Why has he been so good this year?
Fastball command, aggressive with his fastball, which has set up his breaking ball. His breaking ball at times can be unhittable. But it was always fastball command with him. It was always aggressive and getting ahead in the counts because he has the pitches to put you away. It's nice to see him pitch the way he's pitching because you always felt like he should be that kind of pitcher.
We didn't mention the Astros, who've won about 100 games and really were hurt for a long time. Now, they're not 100% healthy, but they've had a big year, and they do have a lot of big stars on that team. They got stars, they got power pitchers, and Verlander has been unconscious since he went there. His ERA is about it's like a half a run since he went there.
Well, Verlander gives them that guy that they needed. I remember when.
So you think he's motivated again? You think that's what it is?
I think he needed a change to get out of Detroit. I mean, Detroit right now is probably the worst team in the game, right?
They're not very good, yes.
So he needed to get out of there and to come over to.
I'm surprised to see him be this good. Well, he's going crazy.
I think what happens is he's on a team now with all these young players. He probably feels young himself. The Bregmans and the Correas and the Altuve, Springers, whatever. The only thing that concerns me about Houston is an untested bullpen. They've got, Gregerson, of course, that's pitched in the post, some other guys. But their closer is Ken Giles. He doesn't have any postseason real experience. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do.
Which is the best team right now? I mean, logic would dictate the Indians are the power in the American. I don't know who you're going to say in the National right now. So in the American, would you say Cleveland's the favorite?
Yeah,
I agree. That would make Cleveland's the favorite.
Going, I think.
Okay, and in the National, who would you go with? Is this the Dodgers year?
I thought it was the Dodgers year. It's hard. It's hard for me.
Would you be surprised if Washington won?
I would not be surprised.
Would you be surprised if the Cubs won?
I would not be surprised. I would be more surprised if the Dodgers went all the way than the Cubs or the Nationals. And My pick before the year, and I'm going to stick with them, is I think this is the Nationals' turn. I think they're going to finally get over the hump. They have the offense. They've got the pitching. They added enough bullpen. Hopefully Madsen is healthy. But I think that you're going to have a Cleveland-Washington matchup.
I picked rematches in both sports this year.
Yeah.
I picked Cubs and
Cleveland
Indian, and I picked the Atlanta and New England to go back again. I think Atlanta's the best team. Anyway, they were the best team last year.
They are.
I thought Atlanta, now New England hasn't looked as good as I thought they'd look, but I thought rematch there, and I thought the Cubs. Now, right now, if I was selecting, I admit I wouldn't take the Cubs. But before the season, I thought Cleveland, which I thought would have a great year with their pitching.
Yeah.
And also, I thought the Cubs were that strong. I mean, everyone thought the Cubs were that strong.
They did.
The Cubs haven't had a bad year, but they never really got it where you thought, wow, they've got it all rolling now. Did you ever think, let me see how many games the Cubs have won. The Cubs have won, they've won 87,
That's right.
Haven't gone crazy. Now, they were picked to win 97 games, which is a lot of games.
Well, they won 103
right.
last year.
So they're not going to come near the number, but the point is, they're going to win close to 90, which isn't a bad year, but for them it's not a good year. So the Cubs have never had a moment this year when they probably played what you thought they would play all year, as far as they're just being lights out.
Well, I think the injury to Hendricks, of course, took away from that. John Lester and John Lackey have gotten a year older. That's Lackey gave up, close to 40 home runs this year. So I'm still worried about the Cubs because they've been there. They've won it. Bryant's hotter than he's ever been. The Cubs are better than they've ever been. Baez has turned into a star. Addison Russell, they just got off the DL. Rizzo. I don't know.
Baez is a really good baseball player.
He's got
a lot of natural talent.
You know what? He rubs some people the wrong way because he's got a lot of flair.
He's better making a tag play than anybody in baseball.
That's right.
He's got some real natural ability. He really does. He's cocky. There's no question.
Well, cocky works. Yeah. I played with a team that had a few cocky guys. So.
Man, when you think of that team for a second, since you brought them up, there are teams that historically, we're in the wrong place, wrong time. Your team was one. Now, the Weaver Orioles of 69-70-71 win three times, only won once.
Yeah.
That was bad for that team. They were that good. The Tony La Russa A's win three straight times, only won once. Your team was a little different. No wild card. If there had been a wild card, you would have won multiple championships because you would have gotten in another time and won it with your pitching, but you couldn't get past teams because there was no wild card then, and you'd win 98 games and not win the division.
Well,
so it was a rough thing. Your team should have won more than one World Series, and that one you won was a gift from the manager over there.
We could have lost that one, yeah.
I mean, it was a lousy played series, but your team won 109 games that year, though. You won the pennant by 15 games. I mean, you were a great team. You just didn't play well in the postseason.
Yeah, I think what happened to that team is same kind of run. Really should have been 85, 86, 87, 88 should have been the run. And instead of winning multiple championships, it only won one. So instead of being one of the best teams that ever played, we had one of the best years the team has ever had. There's a big difference.
Big difference. And imagine if that team hadn't won.
Oh, and it was close.
Yeah.
It should have.
Hey,
I mean,
let's be honest.
It should have happened.
Terribly managed series. Both ways. Davey had a bad series, and their manager did as bad a job as could humanly be done. I mean, Buckner should never have been in the game. That's the first thing. From that standpoint.
He replaced them with Stapleton all during the Angels series.
Made no sense.
You know, anytime you manage with your heart instead of your head, it always seems to come back and bite you.
But you had a great team, though. You really did. And your team, you talk about edge. Your team, that team had an edge. I mean, you guys, cocky wouldn't even explain you guys.
Yeah,
you were past cocky.
Yeah, way, way past. It was, you know, Mike, it's the only team, and I'm not saying this to make us seem better, than because we weren't. This makes us sound awful. But it's the only team I've ever played on that really wanted to embarrass you.
Right.
Like, they didn't want to just beat you.
You wanted to beat people up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the way it is.
Trade,
but that was who you guys were.
That's how it was, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but you guys just knew you were going to win, right? I mean, you guys just, you thought you were better than everybody else, right?
We just had extreme hubris. We just thought we'd throw our gloves on it and win it, and we barely got by Houston. If we don't win game six, we probably don't beat Scott in game seven. And, you know, a gift from the baseball gods against the Red Sox, that should have been their first championship.
And you had a lot of guys that were underappreciated even by their own teams. You know, guys like Knight, guys like Dykstra, who were always trying to prove something to the manager, prove something to the world. So they always were playing with a chip because they were always trying to prove something to somebody.
Well, it was a great combination because there was a lot of platoons.
Right.
So it was almost like Davey, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but it was almost like he's saying, you know what, you're not good enough to start. So when you get your chance to play, see if you're a little better than the guy who plays
Funny because you think about that. The 69 Mets with Gil Hodges got a lot out of platoons.
That's right.
They really did. They were in a great platoon at third with Ed Charles and Wayne Garrett, at second with Boswell. You know, so
Shamsky was in a platoon?
Shamsky in right field with Swoboda. You had Clendenin, who started to play every day end, but him and Cranepool. So you had and then you had Cleon having a great year in left. You had Buddy in his defense, Grody in his defense,
right.
And AG, of course.
Complete
players. But a lot of platoons that did really well, you know, at those other positions. And you guys did the same thing, you know, kind of pushing players on. Plus, your pitching was, you know, your starting pitching was unbelievable.
Well, I really thought that the Mets this year, if they had stayed healthy, were going to have that kind of year. And what I mean is that you throw someone out there every day that in today's game would be more like 7-5-1-1-1-10. You know, that's the kind of pitching staff they would have, the line score that they would have every night. But, you know, it wasn't to be for the injuries. And, you know, they're going to have to hope that everyone comes back. Because if they do, their upside is huge.
Talking with Ron Darling, and you'll see Ron on TBS all next week and next couple of weeks, because right from the wild card game next Wednesday, right through the National League Championship Series, that you'll see Greinke in that game for sure. Greinke's had a great year.
He has had a great year.
He really has. Last year, you know, people say he didn't like the, you know, he's a guy that's fussy, we know. So
fussy is a good word.
Yeah,
peculiar,
fussy, whatever. But that he wasn't comfortable with all the money he got, didn't pitch that well. Now this year he's turned around and been sensational in Arizona.
Well, you know, he was 19-3, got his huge in Los Angeles, got the huge contract in Arizona. Sometimes you don't perform that well in that first year of the contract.
Yep.
But he's come back, and I think he's undefeated at home 18 or 19 wins. He's just had an amazing year.
I tell you what, you want to take a couple calls before we go?
Sure.
All right, let's
sure.
go. I'll give you guys a chance to get in and ask Ron a question about the Mets or about baseball. So I'll pop a couple up, Mons, for him. Let's go here. Get ready. Pop a couple up while we just take it till 3 o'clock, then we'll let Ronnie get out of here. And next week, you will be, first you'll be starting in Arizona
right.
for sure, and then you'll be off to wherever. So we'll see what happens. And yeah, give him a headset. Pop a couple calls up, and away we go.
I didn't know Mons could move this quick. He's very quick.
He's not very quick, but I mean, he's doing the best he can. I mean, he wasn't expecting that. I didn't tell him we were going to do it. It's because I didn't think about it. I said, I just thought about it now. So we'll just do it for a couple of minutes here, and away we go. You got a couple more. You do any more? You got a couple Met games the next couple of days?
I do. We did the doubleheader yesterday. Still have the Braves.
Doubleheaders on days like this are a little depressing. I mean, those are long days at the ballpark. There's nobody there. There's nothing going on. A doubleheader right now. You know, talk about going through the motions. The second game of the doubleheader is going through the motions.
You know, I'd love to say we weren't, but at times
anybody
you are.
Is. The players are, too. Yeah, what, are you kidding? The last week of the season?
Well, in the first game, I don't know if anyone was watching, but the Braves were winning 9-2. The last out of the top of the ninth inning, Brian Snitker, the manager of the Braves, reviewed it.
Oh,
the 9-2 win.
Now, come on. Get with it.
9-2 lead.
That is ridiculous. And, you know, Collins came in with a reputation that he was an intractable guy, didn't get along well with players, kind of a hard ass, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nothing could be further from the truth. The guy is the first of all, I did the show with him for years till they weren't allowed till they left the station.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been allowed on since. The guy's the most personable, nicest. I don't know anybody doesn't love him. Everybody loves him. The media loves him. The players love him. Yeah. He's one of the great guys I've ever met in baseball. He's a nice man.
You know, there's a reason he's always been a great instructor of the game because he has great communication. Skills.
He's a good guy.
I love being around
so
him.
Do I.
I love
He's a
talking
nice guy.
To him. And I'll tell you, the ultimate compliment I could ever pay is I would have loved to have played for him.
Oh, well, that's as high a compliment as you can give him. And the guy's a good guy. I mean, the players love him.
He's great to be around. Great sense
really?
Of humor. Always has a smile
he
on his face.
He has done a good job here. He has not been treated well. And he's been, let's be honest, he's never been given the respect by the organization he deserves, number one. Number two, half the years he's been given half a team. I mean, the guy's done a good job.
Well, I think managers are just viewed so differently than they were 25 years ago. You know, they're just not viewed with the same respect that I think they were viewed in the past. And
relax.
That's a
just
shame.
Sit in there and put the calls up. Be quiet. Tell me when he's got to go. He knows when he has to go. He'll tell me when he has to go. He's worried about where you have to get to the next day. I said, you know, let's
it's
be
only,
quiet.
I'm only going to the Mets
first
game,
rule
so.
Of doing this, don't look to the producer.
That's
just,
right.
just tell him be quiet. Right. Kenny in Staten Island, what's up, Kenny?
Hey, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Ronnie, first of all, it's a pleasure. Thank you for all the years with the Mets. It's been, you know, you got some great memories you gave us. My question to you, Ronnie, is if the opportunity ever came up, were you pitching coach or manager if it was ever offered to you?
Pitching coach,
you couldn't afford him. What do you have in mind?
Thank you for the nice thanks for the nice comments.
He's way past pitching coach. Are you kidding? You got no chance.
I think the as far as being a coach, I don't think that would ever happen, or a manager, to tell you the truth. I those hours, I think, are past me. You know, being there at the ballpark at 12 o'clock.
Coaches put in a lot of time.
12 o'clock
now,
to 12.
Now, managing get paid well, but coaches you put in a lot of time.
You know, 12 to 12 is, I think I'm past that. I think that the guys who coach and manage are so talented.
They're lifers, too. They like it. They like being around the sport. They like being on the field, right? They're guys who like it.
And they're great communicators to young people. I don't think I have those skills. They do.
You probably do, but you've gone in a different direction.
Yeah.
I mean, you've built a wonderful career in broadcasting. Chris in Hicksville, go ahead, Chris. Say hello to Ron.
Hey, Ronnie, how you doing, man? It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, when you were pitching, I never used to read any quotes from any players because it's usually the same. I always love reading your accounts in the paper the next day because it's obvious you were articulate, and I always love reading your quotes. Number two. Are you still a big Neil Young fan? Because I know I always knew you used to love Neil Young. You still listening to Neil?
I'm a big Neil Young fan,
Are you a big... Is that true? You're a big Neil Young fan?
I'm a big Neil Young fan. I'm
After
a big
the
music
Gold Rush,
fan.
I used to listen to that.
Yes.
When I had my first car driving to high school as my senior year, I had a car. I had a Chevy 2 that I bought from my brother's used car lot because he ran a dealership. I got a car here. I got a Chevy 2... That was my first car. It was 8 years old. I had a tape deck in there. I used to listen to After the Gold Rush and T for the Tillerman from Cat Stevens every day on the way to school. Every day.
Both, and it was 8-track for me. I don't know
That's
about
it.
You.
It was 8-track. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah,
so. I'm older than you. You kidding? That's 8-track. But Neil Young was great.
He was unbelievable.
He really was.
I've seen him have acoustic concerts. Have you ever been to one? He has
had No, I don't think I've ever. I've seen Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Yeah. I never saw Neil Young by himself.
Oh, unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, great talent. I mean, unbelievable talent. I didn't know you were a big Neil Young guy. Drew in Trenton. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
A pleasure. Watching you guys forever. My question is center field. Would you be comfortable next year, Lagares and Nimmo, or do you think they have to go outside?
Well, you mentioned Lagares before. How about Nimmo? Is Nimmo a player or not?
Nimmo, is a player.
Is he an everyday player, or is he a bench guy?
I don't think he's proven he's an everyday player yet, but I do think if you asked me if I had to make a decision between Aoki and Nimmo.
You like Nimmo?
I like Nimmo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Keith seems to like Aoki. He's been talking about him a lot.
He does.
He likes that he uses the whole field, first of all.
I just think he's improving his Asian relations. I think that's what Keith is doing.
Joe in Jersey City. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike and Ron.
How are you, Joe? What's happening?
Speak to you. You're doing an awesome job. I love listening to you talk about baseball. My question for you is, this has been such a weird season with teams getting hot, Cleveland and the Dodgers, and then them having a slide and fall. And the Yankees seem to be playing really good baseball. My question to you is, do you give them a puncher's chance to get to the ALCS and maybe to the series? I'd just like to hear your thoughts.
You give the Yankees – first of all, I'll tell you, Ronnie, I do.
Yeah.
I think Severino gives them the anchor that they need, the guy who can – but their offense can get scary hot. They're deep in the pen. Only thing I'll say is this. The competition in the American League is deep. Because Cleveland is going to be a very hard team for anybody to get through in a series.
It's true. I give them more than a puncher's chance also. I think the key for them is that one of the two is going to have to find their form.
Gray
either CeCe or Tanaka. Gray's going to be fine.
You think Gray's going to be
fine? So Severino's going to be good. Gray's going to be fine. But that third guy is important.
I don't trust Tanaka. Yeah. And I don't trust CC against a good team either.
Okay.
I trust CC against a bad team. I don't trust CC against he's had a wonderful year. He's pitched great this year. I never would have expected he could win 13 games. He's done a great job. I don't trust him against a good lineup.
Think about this then. If they win the wild card against Minnesota, Tanaka or CC just has to pitch one good game for them to get to the ALCS. That could happen.
I agree. The problem is Cleveland's loaded.
But they are loaded.
I mean, and their pitching is terrific. And the kind of pitching. You're going to start off and see Kluber in game one, and what a year he's had, huh?
It's almost, he's so good, you might think about a sacrificial lamb against him and putting your good pitcher against
Tanaka
second or third
in that
guy.
Game. You know, it's funny, you put Tanaka in Hope Feast of Famine and then put Gray in the second game, because you're not going to have Severino until game three anyway.
That's right.
So you start Tanaka maybe against him and then come back with Gray, then you can come back with CeCe and then come back with Severino if, depending on where you are, you might come back with Severino first, then CeCe in the fourth game if you have to.
That'd be some good outside-the-box thinking.
Tanaka has been so up and down. I mean, I don't know what you see with Tanaka. What do you think the issue is? You just don't know day to day whether the ball's going to be in the seats or is he going to be getting people out?
I think a couple things. When we first originally saw him, he was lights out. He's a little short with his stuff from there. And I think that, the league has kind of caught on that he'll pitch backwards on you. And that means that a lot of breaking pitches early in the count.
Right.
He'll try to paint you late with the fastball. The league's kind of caught up with that. So he's going to have to make the next adjustment because his stuff is still good enough, and he's a really smart pitcher. He's smart enough to have a better year than he did.
You trust Gray? The Yankees haven't given Gray a lot of support. He's gotten hit hard, I'd say, two times out of all the times he's been here. Most times he's spun a pretty good game. You trust Gray?
I trust Gray. I like him. He reminds me of put on the right stage at the right time. You might see a little David Cone from Sonny Gray.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a high compliment. It really is, because Cone had nasty, nasty stuff.
He did, but they both have the same insides, and that's tough as nails.
Well, listen, I know you have to run. Okay. You guys pacing the floor out there, so I know you have to go, but thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. Anytime, we'll talk to you during the playoffs. Enjoy. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Ron Darling, here's the Mink Man.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.